Well, a very good morning to you, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listeners. We live in the world of technology, and sometimes, well, technology can sometimes go beyond, beyond our power. So, and yeah, we had, some, technical, hiccups. We're back on air, on this side of the world. It has been raining on this side of the world, and when it rains, it always interfere with the broadcasting. So, all right, good morning and welcome. We had a really heavy rain that just came in the morning, during the mornings, you know, the morning hours. Was quite heavy. So, yeah, we may experience some technical hiccups here and there. And even at this point in time, our line is even not working. It's not back on. So, and we will try. Our technical people are trying to sort that out. But good morning to you and welcome to, Unpacking the Day. So this is your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of, business news, economic news and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise and to make sense of the big stories and trends and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear here and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark the meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning to you. Our time is 16 minutes past the hour of 8. So at this time, I am supposed to contact my guest this morning, but we're going to try and come up with a different way to talk to him. And yeah, so, well, stay tuned. I will try to get my guest and see how we can bring this, how we can talk to him. All right, stay tuned.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Shikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Zeitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, onara heta tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oniari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, good morning, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day. Today, we are turning our attention to Parliament and the message coming from the very top. So at the official opening of the National Assembly yesterday, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah delivered a firm and some would say challenging speech. So she spoke about the need. She spoke about the need for strong laws, better performance from the parliament, and restoring public confidence so that the development benefits everyone. So, but what does all this mean for the economy and for the ordinary Namibia trying to make a living? So to help us unpacking this, we are joined by renowned economist and a regular voice of reason on this show, Dr. Omu Kakuyaha Matuntu. Dr. Omu, welcome back to the show.
Yes, good morning, Mike, and good morning to your listeners.
So, Doctor, let's start with your impression. What stood out to you most about the president's speech yesterday?
I think, not much was said except saying that Parliament should work hard so that they can get enabling legislation in place that will assist in service delivery and national development. And as you know, our president will always... she's having her dictum, which is we are too few to be poor. And her business unusual motto. So, yeah, those are some of the things that we could look at. Not much was said, yes.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is that the president set a very serious tone, remembering our late president. So how important is that in the sense of history when we talk about our economic future?
Right. Setting the tone is one thing and delivering is another. Now, if we look at President Daitwa's term and we want to look at, let's say, assessing or let me say unpacking as your program is, about what has happened in her 1 year in office.
Yeah.
So 1 year is not a very long time.
Exactly.
But what are we seeing? What is the official data telling us? What is eyeballing the situation telling us? Now, I think that should be our point of departure.
Yeah.
To see that. If we are saying we are too few to be poor, then the assumption is that we are poor. And that we have to do things in a new way, or as she herself put it, business unusual.
Yeah.
Have we seen that? If the first question that we'll ask is whether we can get out of poverty, or the first question is perhaps to ask, how was poverty generated in Namibia? And what will be done differently under President Netumbo Daitwa's tenure? Now, what one can ask the first question is that, can she or her administration do anything different under the same neoliberal capitalist system? That is a very, very important one. Because if you want to get us out of the 35 years of poverty in a business unusual manner, then you have also to revisit the economic system in place. Now, let's assume that is very difficult to do. Then you can go further and ask, but what is done differently under tenure? That is just 1 year. How do we
But doctor, even if it's 1 year, do we see, is there any signs of doing something unusual? You know, do we see those signs, or is there any can we see that they, you know, there are maybe policies, or maybe there's certain things that she's doing differently now for us to say, yeah, actually it's business unusual.
For now, I should say I haven't seen nothing, and that is why I asked the question, how do we measure that business unusual? It should be measured in terms of progress. What progress have we made? One of the things that she promised us in the 5 years, and we're just talking of one, of course, but in the 5 years of her tenure, she should be able to create, or the economy, not her, because it should be the public sector, the private sector, coming together or pulling together and create 500,000 jobs, half a million jobs.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things, if you want to tell us that things will be business unusual, it should be like in the first year, we should be told by the NSA, that is the National Statistical Agency, that in year one, we have created so many jobs.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. Nothing at all. So what is unusual there? It's the usual thing where we wait until the 5 years are over and haven't seen nothing, or until we have another labor survey or so.
Yeah.
The same with household income data. Have households in this 1 year fed better or worse? From the same thing with nutrition, formalization and support of the informal sector. What has been done? Now, let me quickly run over this one, and then Mike, you can come in.
Yeah.
The questions are cheap utilities. Without cheap utilities, that is water and electricity,
yeah,
households will suffer. Higher tariffs that we are now paying. You go to businesses, it's the same thing, and you want businesses to expand and create jobs.
Yeah.
How are we going to do that without cheap water and electricity? Have you, Mike, heard of any investment in new water projects within this 1 year, even in the planning phases, that in this year, too, we are going to put up these facilities, water desalination, etc., a power station there, etc., to bring, to make utilities cheaper. That will also attract foreign direct investment. On that score, we'll say no, that is not done. Rural electrification, no. Employment? No.
Yeah.
If we have all the situation and look at the roadside here in Windhoek as well as in Shakati and bigger towns, Rundu, etc., you will see all these hordes of people sitting at roadsides without employment, and we haven't been told how many jobs have been added to the economy within 1 year.
Yeah.
Health services collapsing still, you will say no. With no stock in most of the public hospitals, it is a sad story there.
Yeah.
It is a no. Education improvement, the early childhood development centers, for instance, there is also a no. We are talking about AI, and we are talking about trying business as unusual to try and train our kids. There's no coaching in schools or any plant activities. The last one, or last two, increased agricultural production.
Yeah.
We haven't been told what has been done within that 1 year or what we can expect in the second year.
Yeah.
So, housing, upgrading of informal housing, upgrading of informal settlements, no. Nothing has been done yet within the first year. So, although we are saying the first a year is a very short period of time to say things have been done, but looking at going back to your question where you said, do we see the indication of business unusual? I will say no, I haven't seen any.
Yeah. Now, she has been really emphasizing on a law framework, legal framework, changing legal form. Are our laws part of the problem here? Or what is the part of the problem?
No, and yes, but not a big problem. If you look at all those laws, the land bill, the petroleum and whatever bill, etc., those things won't stop any development or any attempts at trying to get things right.
Yeah.
The problem, the biggest problem is the revenue. What we have.
Yeah.
What we collect. Our budget, to be fair also to the president and to the administration or government. the revenue that we collect is so small, and when we take we'll come to some of the factors that hold us back, like our small population is a big problem,
yeah,
with a big country area size. So the per capita, that is per head expenditure, public expenditure is so high, and your budget is so small.
Mm.
And the promises that you make as a president or the party, they are out of tune,
yeah,
with what you collect.
Yeah.
Let's say for now, we are having a budget, a national budget of 100 billion for 25-26. But we are only going to collect around 85 billion. That is what we are going to collect,
yeah,
with a shortfall of almost $20 billion. So then you have to borrow, you have to service the debt, etc. So the problem is spreading yourself in as government while you don't have the money to do the job.
Yeah.
So I won't say legislation is a major hindrance.
Okay, there's a quick commercial coming up.
Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. So, Doctor, our national debt, is it also a factor when it comes now service deliveries and all, and be able to provide, you know, employment and, you know, and deal with the issue of poverty? Is a debt also a factor in this, in this case?
Yes, Mike, definitely it is.
Hmm.
Like now, because of the redemption of the Eurobond, for instance,
yeah,
where we really have to drain our coffers to try and honor that, that money could have been used for service delivery.
Yeah.
Now, we have basically taken that money, part of it from our own resources, but then we have again to run to the local market to make up for a shortfall to pay the Eurobond.
Mm.
So, yes, it is indeed. But mind you, if debt is spent on, production or productive activities that will yield us revenue in terms of employment and exports,
yeah,
then that will be a good debt. So it is a catch-22 situation,
yeah,
where sometimes need that money, like now, this shortfall, we have to fund that, and that will come out of borrowing, but the paying back the money, interest,
yeah,
payment, for instance, divert money from services to repay the debt. So debt, in a way, if it is not used on productive sectors or activities, can really, really stifle development and service delivery.
Yeah. So the other thing the president said was is that we must stop extracting our resources without local beneficiation. So why has this been so difficult for Namibia actually to achieve until now? Because this is something that has been spoken for quite a while now.
Yes. There are two things. One is I'll call it global political economy, where You have your investors, the multinational companies, putting a lot of pressure on you, telling you that you don't have money to do these things. We are the ones who are having money.
Yeah.
And we won't agree to you your proposal of, say, 51% local stake in your resources. Otherwise, you have to cough up and you don't have that money. So leave it to us. Just take 10% of your of stake in whether it is a gold mine, whether it is a uranium mine or whatever. So in a way, that is one of them.
Yeah.
One, again, is the political will to try by hook and crook to plow these things through. Look, when we started at Pangelo, for instance, even with a pittance going into a Pangelo, we could have now, by now, have some good money to partake, be it in the petroleum searches or industry or other mining activities. But what, as you have said in the beginning, sometimes we pay lip service and say these things for just political expediency, but without enough patriotic zeal to develop our nation and to develop our people and to get our people out of poverty. And we'll keep on singing this song, we are too few to be poor.
And what are the, I think, what are the biggest challenge really or hurdles stopping us from adding more value to our diamonds, to our oil, as we are now exploring that, to our fish? What is that? What are the, you know, the hurdles that, that's stopping us from adding more value minerals, right here at home?
Yes. As I have said, let's go back to global political economy. And there is something called tariff escalation.
Yeah.
The more value you add to your resources, that is, be it beef, be it gold, diamonds, etc., when they enter the lucrative Western markets, they increase tariffs to discourage their consumers to consume your goods.
Your goods, yeah.
So in that way, sometimes it becomes so uncompetitive for you when you add value, because they want to extract and export raw resources to their country so that they can create that in their own countries.
Yeah.
The second one is on, as I have said, locally, what we are doing, we haven't really worked very, very hard to try and do that. And sometimes we don't, let's take uranium, for instance.
Yeah.
We can just go up to Yellowcake, for instance. We cannot for now go beyond that because of not having the local skills to do that, and also because of uranium enrichment and all other factors. The other one is markets.
Yeah.
For you to add value, you have to set up manufacturing industry.
Yeah.
A good one. Now, if your local market is small and you don't have export markets, then you won't have what we call the economies of scale. Your overhead, as your cost will be so high, so that your products won't sell at cheaper on the global market, and your products locally and globally will be uncompetitive. You will be competitive, and those things that you are trying, like adding value to mango, to come up with mango biscuits or cookies, come up with beef, what. So that is another one. Lastly, the people we put in place, some of them are just thinking about lining their own pockets, aligning themselves with foreign companies and multinationals to plunder the nations, as well as locals who basically, through corruption, drain our nation and don't think about serious economic development in terms of value addition and other attempts to try and get export markets for our goods. That is some of the factors that I would suspect when it comes to value addition.
Yeah, given the factors that you have given now, why do we keep actually singing the same song? You know, knowingly, you know, knowing that, first of all, let's say, for example, investors, it's not within their interest actually to put up the processing plant in the country, for example. So, and other issues that you mentioned. Why do we keep, singing the same song? Why can't we look at maybe this differently and see what actually look at it in the way that actually suit our economy, suit the way we maybe need to move forward?
My question was, can we do some of these things as the president will call business unusual if we are operating under the same neoliberal capitalist system where you are saying private property is protected, you are not supposed to nationalize some of the mines, you are not supposed to do this or that, leave it to FBI to come in. And mind you also, if you try and attempt to change the system, then you'll be ostracized by your Western development partners, so-called Western capitalist world, by saying that you are now going the socialist communist route and you will be punished severely. So in a way, again, we are afraid of the repercussions. But we haven't... look, as I have said, even with the pickings that we get from those companies under the current system, we are not completely blocked from changing things a little bit, like upping our shares in the mineral riches of this country. No one is going to block unless we are declaring a global, I mean, a nationalization policy or so. If we say we want 40%, 51% or so, that can fly. But the problem is that even with the pickings that we get from them, we could have done much with those resources. The problem is abuse. Misappropriation of the resources that we get. So that is where I want our president to come in, put competent people in place. I'm not against cater deployment. The party can deploy caters, tested caters, but also competent caters in positions like ministerial positions, ED positions, etc. But they should be competent people. And consequence management. The president should be very hard on corruption. Where we smell even a small whiff of corruption, she should, through, of course, all kinds of mechanism, the legal system, etc., try to cap it so that resources can be employed for what he wants to do, and that is to say we are too few to be poor.
So you just mentioned the party deployment. That could be one of the issue here, especially when it comes to our political systems, because I'm the one who is campaigning, well spoken, very popular in the party, but now the very competent person is not outgoing, you know, he's at the back. So now when it comes now to deployment, so would actually, if you then pick the competent person, I would be looking at, I am the one who have been doing the work. I am the one who got you winning. So why not me? And that very in itself become a problem when it comes now to service delivery and issues that we're talking about.
When the Swapo party started the Swapo school, let me call it that way,
yeah,
the political school, I was happy because I thought that is where patriotism and other things will be taught, where people, it will be Namibia first and then your own pocket.
Yeah.
So, and one thing that we should remember, if we don't build this country, if we go by our own stomachs as party caters and don't allow a competent party member to do that job because you campaigned, it means you campaigned so that you can come in for employment purposes. But if we can expand the economy, then everyone will be happy. Now, if you're an incompetent party cater and you are trying to squeeze yourself in there by bribing, be it the president or so, through threatening her or him to say that, yes, I'm a stronger guy, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Then what you should remember is that this country will go down and it will also go down with you. But if we can build it, even you yourself, you are going to get a more lucrative job and businesses that you can eke living out of that. And everyone will be happy. And then that is what we call business unusual. If we go by our usual trying to campaign so hard by using either your resources or influence and to be appointed as an ED or a minister, but you are not competent, you are not doing this country a favor. You are doing this country a disfavor.
Yeah. Okay, coming back to one of the things that she mentioned also in her speech, she highlighted three key areas: agriculture, manufacturing, and the digital economy. So why do you think those three in particular?
What is agriculture?
Agriculture, manufacturing, and digital economy.
Yes. Let's forget about digital economy for now. That's very important, but as I have said, not much is being done in terms of ourselves. Well, you remember under the previous administration, something called the Fourth Industrial Revolution or something committee or so. Nothing came out of that.
Yeah.
Now we are moving even into AI, serious stuff. Nothing is said about that. But yes, there are a couple of digital things going on. But when it comes to e-commerce and some of those things, we are not picking that. Let's come back to agriculture.
Yeah.
Agriculture and manufacturing goes hand in hand. Because what you are saying is that what you produce from the land, we should add value to those things that you have said, and we should sell those goods, if I may say.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is, if you look at that supply chain, and you look at our weather conditions and needs innovative technologies to try and increase our production.
Yeah.
But also, government committed itself to green schemes, for instance.
Yeah.
That is in its control. When it comes to private sector, government can support private sector, but they don't have much control of that. We have run out run down our green schemes over 35 years,
yeah.
And now we have to resuscitate those ones. What I wanted to hear in the first year now is that this is how far we have come with the green schemes,
yeah.
And this is what we think we can do. And we go the second part of value addition. But as I have said, because of our small population, we can't reach economies of scale without exploring or finding sustainable export markets.
Mm.
Where are we going to export our manufacturing goods from agriculture so that we can have that scale and be globally competitive,
yeah.
So that we can sell our goods to other countries at lower prices and compete against that. So without having had that, without even in the first year having had that, I think it's just business as usual.
And now, especially when we talk about digital economy, for our young people listening, what are the real opportunity to do? Do you see? Okay, what are the real opportunity do you see in this digital economy that the president is pushing for?
Okay, you have to train your people.
Yeah.
Because you see this young man who came here, I think it was 2 weeks ago or so, a guy called Speed.
Yes, yeah.
A 20-year-old from the U.S. Now, this guy is a multi-millionaire.
Millionaire.
Mm. Part of it.
Yeah.
Now, our kids should, as I have said in the beginning, if you are talking about these things and you don't have a single coding lesson in your public schools,
yeah.
Or even in those concept schools where you are saying, right, kids are doing serious coding. They have started writing programs that they can use, the likes of TikTok, or they can work remotely for U.S. companies, Chinese companies, etc., through the digital economy.
Mm.
Then, again, it's just paying lip service and throwing these big terms that our officials are writing for our leaders, and our leaders just read without paying much attention to what those things mean and what needs to be done.
Yeah.
So I think it is high time that our leaders, those the executive level, your ministers, your presidents, school themselves and educate themselves in some of these things so that they can appreciate what it means and not be led by the nose by what we just generate with AI and then present to them for them to go and read in parliament or any other opening of this or that institution.
Yeah. So during the her speech, the president sounded frustrated that many bills did not pass last year. Now, from economic point of view, what is the economic cost of that kind of delay? Is there any cost to that kind of delay?
Oh, huge. One, no bill has been passed at all, Mike, don't be deceived.
Yeah.
The only two that are said to be have been passed are the appropriation bill. And the appropriation amendment bill.
Yeah.
That is basically the budget, because you cannot do without a budget and you have to pass it. All the other seven serious bills had not been passed.
Mm.
Meaning what? One, you go to parliament, you sit there, you get paid, and the bills are not passed. The same thing, is it the problem with legal drafters? Is it a problem with parliament? Where is the sticky thing? And mind you, if some of those, as I have said, if, let's say, the land bill is a very good piece of legislation that will transform the rural land management, for instance.
Yeah.
and that has not been done, meaning that you have foregone development that should have taken place because there is no legal framework for you to implement as government what should have been implemented. Mm. That is huge cost, and that could set the country back by a number of years. So, Mike, you are right that even though in the beginning I said we could do much without that, sometimes you get hamstrung by not having the enabling legislation. The investment bill, for instance, and all those others. So it's a huge cost, I should say.
Yeah.
Huge economic cost.
Yeah. And also from economist angle, what should Parliament prioritize right now in its lawmaking? What should they prioritize?
You see, politics and economics, politics always override economics.
Yeah.
So when these people, as you remember yesterday, what the Speaker of the House said, the three branches of government should, or state, I should say state, should work together in unison for things to happen. But comes to Parliament, also the President said, when you come here, forget about your
partisans,
work for the nation.
Mm.
No, that doesn't sound well, because these guys are there to score political points.
Yeah.
But then they go there and infinitum for without whatever going around doing some of these things. But then again, let me say this.
Yeah.
The electorate should also push, because parties are using the ignorance and the illiteracy of the electorates, that is us, the voters, because there's no way that we vote with our feet, either to go to another party or to demonstrate against non-service delivery. So they are relaxing there in Parliament. I see them very relaxed because there's no pressure on them.
Yeah.
So let us, as the electorate, the people who put them there, it will be us who feel the pinch, who don't get paid a salary, a parliamentary, or a salary from Parliament.
Yeah.
But we are here going hungry, and they are there relaxing, trying to score political points.
Yeah.
Where we, as electorate, we join forces and put a lot of pressure for those things to come up with legislation, enabling legislation. Let's say, for argument's sake, the formalization or the support to the informal sector, for instance, if there is an act like that, and they are just there belaboring this for 2-3 years, who is going to suffer? It is us, the people who are poor and suffering.
Yeah.
So for them, they will relax as long as there's no pressure put on them.
Yeah. So the other thing the president talked about is she spoke about the global instability and geopolitical tensions. How exposed is Namibia to what is really happening outside our borders, and how might impact Namibia's economy?
Look, I'm just an economist, but I have lived long enough to see how things are happening in the world. Look, this is time for our government to employ the best of diplomatic minds that they have. The Ambassador Kalomos and others. You don't need to have your novices to deal with this delicate geopolitical consideration, if I may say so. Meaning that, whom are you going to support, and Are you going to try and have a kind of a, you can't say non-aligned, but a kind of, to try and delicately, a delicate balance between our friends and our economic interest.
Yeah.
Look at what the injustices that is happening around the world, in Palestine, in places like Venezuela, Cuba, and other places around the world. Now, should we make a lot of noise about those?
Yeah.
Or should we carefully consider our economic interests?
Yeah.
We cannot divorce ourselves, let's say, from our friends like China, Russia, Brazil, etc. But I think we should tread very, very carefully and see how we can balance our economic interests, as they said in some of the diplomatic circles. We have permanent interest and no permanent friends. So at times, as a small open economy that is having not much influence in the global political arena, we should be very, very careful as government to see how we can balance that delicate balance.
Yeah. So what you're actually saying is that from what I'm picking is that there are two interests. We could be driven by ideological push or what we want to achieve ideologically, or what we want to associate ourselves ideologically in terms of politics. But they need a balance in terms of our economic interests. Let's say, for example, we side with China or let's say, for example, we side with Iran. And then definitely that might put our commodities like meat that goes to the state, fish and other things in a problems. You understand? So
you are very right, Mike. What you are saying is that let's look at the costs and benefits.
Yeah.
Iran, if I'm not mistaken, a few weeks ago, was in a state house telling us what Iran could assist us with.
Yeah.
Iran now is a pariah when it comes to the Western world, that is Western Europe and the United States. They want to attack Iran.
Yeah.
But if we think that what we can get out of Iran, what they can assist us with, really outstrip our goods to be tariffed. There is no such word, but term.
Mm.
But if Trump is saying he's going to levy a tariff of something like 60% on our goods, but what we see and know is that Iran will be able, or China or Russia, in this case we were talking about Iran, can assist us in achieving our economic development, then we should look at that and say, okay, you, just tomorrow, you are going to get, as the Americans, we are not going to say that out loud, we are going to say that in our hearts, you are going to get some nice sweet oil from Iran, but what you are saying is that a country working with Iran, you are going to sanction that country. So those are some of the delicate balance that I'm talking about. Russia, if we have something to do with Russia or China, the Western world is going to punish us very hard, but they are big time working with those countries, then that is the delicate balance that I'm saying. The political giants like diplomatic giants like Basata Kalomo and others should come in and advise government to see how we can balance our political or ideological, as you have said, and our economic interests.
Yeah. Now, when she talked about Namibia being active participant in regional and global forums, does that really translate to benefit for the person on the street?
Definitely, yes. Because what you are saying is that coming closer to home, we should leverage the African Continental Free Trade Area.
Yeah.
And that involves regional cooperation through, let's say, SACU, the Southern African Customs Union.
Yeah.
You are talking about trying to get investors from other nations. If there is something happening in Dubai or other place where we think that we can get some good investors from, or something happening in some other regional outfit or so, we should not be left behind on that score. We should follow those events. We should participate where we think we can get some good benefits for the ordinary men on the street. And that will basically come through getting those investments, those external markets or exports markets that will enable our businesses to export to those markets, create jobs for the ordinary Mike and Omu on the streets. And that is how what the president said can benefit the man on the street.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Omu, looking at now the government's plan, you know, do you feel it is ambitious enough to tackle the problems we face?
Yes, it is over-ambitious. What I think is that government should stop spreading itself very thin by trying to not appease, let me first use that term, appease voters, that is the ruling party, appease the voters throughout the country.
Because
people in Oshinene voted for me, in Okalongo also voted for me, so I should have a 5 kilometer road in Okalongo and 2 kilometer in Oshinene or 10 kilometer in Omaheke or something like that. What I want to see is national champions. Let's take, for instance, Dina Pama. Sorry to mention their name. I'm not part of them at all,
Yeah.
But this is a textile and garment manufacturing outfit.
Yeah.
Instead of now, in every small corner to have a small, what is it, uniform sewing, a small company.
Yeah.
We grow this company and we employ many people. It will have scale and it could now start competing with South African outfits or global outfits in terms of prices and export our goods and create more jobs. Rather than having all these small things, let's take another one.
Yeah.
Let's say we want to have some good rice project. Well, it's good to have one at Kalidesa, one in the north because of the weather patterns, etc. But can we just grow one big Kalidesa and even those in the north that are the north, what I mean is that, let's say in Oshana or so, take those people who are interested in rice production, take them to one place in Kalibesa and blow up that project so that we can locally as well as export rice. So that is what I think.
Yeah.
Now, government is all over the place. And as I have told you, the area size of this country is huge. So if you do things all over the place, you have to take seats to Nekatal Dam, to Etunda, to Ubungubungu or Kalibesa or so. Then you spread yourself so thin that take the what you are saying. I saw people in green and some yellow jackets coats going to Nekatal Dam. Apparently, the budget for developing that is five million or so.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with the 5 million there?
Mm.
So if we pull all those resources and put in some real good national champions that can employ more people, that can increase productivity, then I will say yes. So I think they are over ambitious. Let them cut on that. Let them explain to the nation why they are going to do these national champions, and let's grow our economy.
All right. And last, Doctor, if you could give one piece of advice to the NPs sitting in the parliament chamber right now, what would it be?
One of the most important institutions of parliament are the committees. Yeah?
Mm.
The Standing Committee on Poverty, Standing Committee on Economics, and the like.
Yeah.
That is the oversight role. Besides passing legislation, one of the things that they should really, really pay a lot of attention to and keep the executive branch on their toes is with their oversight function.
Yeah.
Trying to really go out there. There was one, I think it was on health, that went and found things like, you know, Shakati, we don't have any mental institution there. So things, you know, Shivarongo, the theaters, etc., etc. If they can go there, come back and wrote those reports that will go through Parliament, and Parliament put more pressure on the executive branch. And the executive branch, of course, on their bureaucracy for things to happen.
Yeah.
Because sometimes money is not the problem. The problem is the execution and implementation of those. And one of the things that Parliament can do is really to look closely at procurement.
Mm.
Procurement headache. Things takes very long because of squabblings going on under the bureaucracy or bureaucrats to try and see who is going to get what cut and who is going to benefit from that project.
Yeah.
So it is very important for them to come, even when legislation that says if a project has been approved within 3 or 4 months, this project should happen and be completed within the stipulated time. So if they do that, then the executives will be on their toes, and so will the bureaucrats.
All right, Dr. Omu Kakuyaha Matuntu, we appreciate you taking the time to unpack the president's speech with us today on Unpacking the Day. Your insight, priceless always. So, always a pleasure having you on Unpacking the Day.
It's a pleasure for you to have me and for your listeners to listen to such a long, long, drawn talk. Thank you so much.
No, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. All right. That was Dr. Omu Kakuyaha Matuntu. Giving us unpacking the president speech with us here on Unpacking the Day. So, all right. Our line is it's off. It's not working at the moment. We had really received a lot of rain, which is actually a good thing. We shouldn't be complaining about that. Yeah. So now, if you want to react on our discussion, which you probably want to do, maybe call me. Call now on my personal cell phone. 081-081-854-8569. So, it's the only way I can be able now. This is the only way I can be able to get you on air. So if you want to react on our discussion with Dr. Omu, please, call on my personal, phone. Our line is it's off at the moment. So 081-854-8569. 081-854-8569. So that's the number you can call. So as soon as you call, please do delete it. I don't want to get your call in the middle of the night. Hey, Mike, you know, what is the topic going to discuss tomorrow? Yeah. So 081-854-8569. So that's the number you can, call. We will try. That's the best way I can put you on air. Yeah, because our line it's off at the moment. All right. So we will be back. Just repeating my number again. Our line is not working at the moment. You can use my personal number. Is 081-854-8569. And we got a first one. So good morning.
Good morning, that's Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
It's all right, man.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that at least you can update me on the topic.
So
you give us an idea.
I don't want to have actually people calling in the middle of the night. Hey, man, what is the topic tomorrow?
What are we talking about?
What are we talking about, you know?
Yeah, Mike, I was listening when I interviewed the doctor.
Yeah.
I think he'll say a lot.
Yeah.
And especially speaking, when talking about food security.
Yeah.
That is the main point, and the supposed to be our first priority in the list of things.
Yeah.
Before even talking about technology, or because remember one thing, that if you are not even eating healthy food, you will not be healthy. You will be not fit to do anything.
Mm.
And this is where we find ourselves, because I'm telling you, look at what is happening in the Kavango. And the Kavango is well enough, they were having a nice fertile, soil.
Exactly.
Kavango and Zambia is supposed to be a basket of Namibia.
Yeah.
When it comes to food production. But it's where we have people who are dying for food poison, because there is a lack of food.
Yeah. And even talk about Ohangwena and Omsati and Oshana. Omsati, yeah. When it comes to rice, because that's where you get lots and lots of water in the Oshanas and things like that, you know. And we're talking about food security. And you remember time we're talking about rice, Kalimbeza and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe what we are doing is just a lack of what? Of our mindset, maybe, or something. Because, look, man, we will not every time crying that, you know, we need to be fed by South Africa. If a tragedy didn't come, then we have to, we are looking at our fridge.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do. But we have learned, and this is a problem. And I think even our president, when he's talking about, business as unusual, I thought maybe this time we're supposed to have a production of our green scheme.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have already, at least we can eat even in whatever we produce, but there's nothing yet up to now.
Yeah, and that's my question, actually. My question is that, and we being realistic to ourselves. It's not just about the matter of, like now, the doctor said, we are too ambitious. We set our ambitions too much that we end up not be able to achieve that, you know? Mm. So, but when we look at now a whole year, you know, we're looking at what can you smell? What can you touch when it comes to the pressing issues? When we talk about unemployment, when we talk about poverty, inequality, food security, you know, job creation. Okay. What can now you tell, you know? What can you touch and smell? Something that is tangible, you know, from now.
This is a new improvement that we can see that, yes. Mm. See, that it is something, there's something which you can touch and see. And smell.
Yeah.
Nothing. Up to now, she's just talking nice things, but we cannot see anything. And I heard even some people are comparing the head with what? Burkina Faso, the captain. I'm like, no, that guy doesn't talk much, but his work is doing, the one we can see in this country.
Yeah.
And now, look here. What we're supposed to do now, like doctor saying, even our when it comes to employment, look, he talk about like Dinapama. You know, it's a government thing to produce. And they found out that, look, sometimes even our uniform, military uniform, is being made somewhere far. Instead of, you know, we are having a lot of women graduate people.
It just just checking Windhoek, the most the one in Windhoek in Southern Industry, you know, who owns that? That's where, who owns that? That how it is boundary or what is how it is called? You know,
where we are buying uniform.
But where you buying uniform? Who owns
it's
that?
Indian. Eh? It's Indian.
You see? Are you saying
uniform are from school? They are made my the Indian, then they come, they ship it to Namibia.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be broken. I mean, you can say, no, nobody will bring in uniform. All their uniform are going to be made in Namibia.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, because I'm sure this Indian are having a connection in South Africa.
Yeah.
When they are producing, especially if you come to town school, they even come with already what you call this, Oshiako.
Yeah.
So, scholar, everything, you see?
Yeah.
And we are spending a lot of money in that boundary, which is supposed to be produced in Dinapama. So Dinapama can grow.
This is the manufacturing the president is talking about. But then we have, instead of actually Namibian, you know, manufacturing, it's actually it's foreign investors that are taking the opportunities.
I'm telling you. Big opportunity, and they're taking the job away. Because remember one thing, they are here, basically, but the things are not made in here.
Yeah.
It's being made in their country, but they are selling it here.
Yeah.
To our own people.
Mm.
So sometimes then you tell me that it's a foreign investment.
Yeah.
That they want to call the direct investment.
Yeah. The main job. The main job is actually either in South Africa or in India. And here we are just having few people that are actually employed for, you know, to.
With a lower salary.
Yeah, exactly. Because the kind of the job that you are doing, it doesn't require you paying more. Exactly.
Yeah? But my, for me, I think our government is the one who is always hindering even the progress of things. Because there was something happening in, I think it was in Oswakop, where they are producing also the same quality thing, where they are used even to give it to what? Retailers, South African retailers. They are buying directly from there. And I don't know who really come up and started that thing. Now is they are no more producing the way they used to.
Yeah.
Because they were producing for those South African shops. And they are buying from directly there. Even Pep now, they're supposed to. I'm telling you, there are guys who are making shoes when it comes to school shoes.
Yeah.
Namibian. But they're not given a chance. And the government was always crying, yeah, no, you have to create your own job, but there are people who you need to invest in them.
Yeah. Mm.
If it is not quality, then you have to step in.
Mm.
So they can produce, you can improve their quality product.
Yeah.
This is the thing which I think our government is serious. We are in the state where we don't need to talk up anymore. We are just telling a dream to people. No, we need the reality now.
All right.
Yes, if you've been there for 10, 1 year is a lot. Because you are having resources, everything. You are the one who is in control.
Yeah.
So what is bringing you? We trust in you. We give it a power to you.
Yeah.
Well, if somebody cannot act, why you cannot fire that person? You say, no, this is direct what I give you. I told you guys, this scheme must take off.
Mm.
With 6 months.
Yeah, even in the speech, we would have... Even in the speech, we would have expected, like, you know, so far, this is what we have done.
Yeah.
So we have done, achieved this, and this is the direction we are going. So this is what, within the next year... This is what we are going to achieve. So basically, it's actually, she just talked about challenges and how. All right. Thanks for coming through, man.
All right.
Mm. Okay. Good morning. Good morning and welcome. This is Unpacking the Day. Our time is about 23 minutes past the hour of nine. And if you're trying to come through our normal line, that is not working. We experience quite a heavy rain around this site, especially last night. So do contact if you want to participate, if you want to contribute. Use my personal line, my personal phone, my personal phone number, 081-854-8569. So that's the number you can use at the moment. That's the best way we can be able to put you on air. And as soon as you are done, please do delete it. Don't keep it. Don't save it. Yeah, keep it. Yeah. I mean, don't save it. You know, delete it. All right. So 081-854-8569. So that's the number you can dial if you want to speak to the public. Yeah, if you want to speak to Eagle FM listeners. 081-854-8569.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekiro kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayaguro ni randito ma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifaregi uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oliyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, this is Eagle FM, the eye. So welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. Yes. And if you're trying to get to me, if you're trying to get to our, studio in Ondangwa, our line is off at the moment, due to, probably heavy rain that we, received, this side of the world. So yeah, to contribute or to come on air or to help you to come through, please use my personal number 081-854-8569. 081-854-8569. So that's the number you can call, and that's the only way I can put you on air, so to air your your opinion or your to participate and to contribute to the topic that we our first topic that we an interview that we had with Dr. Omo Kakuyaha Matundu. So all right, so 081-854-8569. So that's the number you can call if you want to take part in a discussion. All right. When we come back, let's have a short one. When we come back, we're looking we get into our second story of the day. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 29 minutes past the hour of 9. Please don't give missed calls. There are a number of people now giving me missed calls. Don't do that. I'm not asking you to call you. Don't give missed calls so that I can call you. If you want to call, please do call. Do come through and I will help you All right. So that's the only way I can accommodate you to come through.
Imba ya rire omba nai etetwa weza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha. Njiviro yoye irire ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu. Walire ongere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba. Una ovi une vya peke kwa gondola mirongo vitatu no hambu umwe mumwe stoo. Kwika ovi inki no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. Owa peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Owa peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Owa peresente umirongo ivari nandano kumyeze murongo na vivari moshimariva. Itoarorera ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarithiro. Imba o maoronga neno uyeru haka enina itako na wina rishangita jinon.
No man. All right. Good morning. And welcome to Unpacking the Day. We just had an interview with Dr. Omo Kakuyaha Matundu, unpacking the speech of the president. So if you are listening and you would like to contribute on that, to have your opinion or your reaction to that, telephone number. My telephone, the telephone that we're going to use because the line is not working. The usual studio line is not working due to rain that we have received on this side. So my telephone number is 081-854-8569. 081-854-8569. So that's the number you can actually call. All right. So good morning. Good morning, Namibia. And welcome back to Unpacking the Day. So if you're just joining us, I'm Michael Chiavelli. And in this segment, we need to talk about money. Okay. And this is a story. It's a story in today's, is the headline, our headline in today's edition of the Villager. The government, it's borrowed, over 8 billion, from domestic market. So in the past 7 months. So yeah. So we need to talk about money. Okay? Not your money, not my money. Actually, our money. It is our money. So it is the government's money, and more accurately is the government's debt. Okay? It's actually the government's debt that we will be talking about. So the latest number are out. So please make sure that you subscribe to The Villager. This is a story by Nino Minavali Hangala. It's the front page of our newsletter, e-newspaper, the Villager. Make sure that you subscribe. All you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message to 081-241-44. Just send a WhatsApp message with your name and your email address. So, and you will be then receiving, just say subscribe, and you will be receiving your free digital copy every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you subscribe today so that you receive your latest one on Friday. So, according to the stories in today's edition, is that latest number out, and they are actually shocking. They are very shocking. In just the last seven months, our government has borrowed another 8 billion. You know, $8 billion. US, Namibian dollars, okay? Not US dollar, 8 billion Namibian dollars. So in 7 months, and that pushes our total national debt now to, you know, to 149 billion. So the total debt is now 53.4% of our GDP. And it's something that I actually want to really talk about. I'm not going to focus much on the details in there, but I want to talk about this 53.4% of our GDP. Now, that is debt to GDP ratio. Okay? That someone make me understand that in a very in a better way, in a very simple way, that I felt that that's something that many of us, sometimes when we hear, especially when you hear now 53.4% of our GDP, that doesn't click to many of us. If you're not an economic person, if you're not a finance person, if you're not, you know, so it doesn't really click. But I want to talk about it a little bit more with a little bit of some research and understanding, just to make you for us to understand, to let you also to make you understand what is this, you know, this called debt to GDP ratio all about. So let's talk about this called, you know, debt to GDP ratio, because I know when economists and politicians throw around numbers like 53.4%, most people just, well, you're not interested. When you hear that number, you're not interested. Okay? Your eyes just glaze over. Okay. So, but trust me, until I have learned to understand this, this is something every single Namibian need to understand, and that's why we make it our mission today. What is the time? 37 minutes past the hour of 9. So to make sure that we all understand what that means. So let me break it down for you in a simplest way possible. Not from an economist point of view, but from a layman point of view, you know, the way, so that we understand it, you know, in that way. Now, first, let's talk about GDP. Okay. So, and I will connect this. This whole thing is about the 53.4% of our GDP, you know, the debt to GDP ratio. You know, that's what we're talking about. Now, first, let's talk about GDP. That stands for, you know, gross domestic product, a fancy name, you know, simply a simple concept. GDP is basically the total value of everything our country produces and earns in a year. Okay? So this will be very helpful to understand this concept. All right? Now, and I want you to think of it as Namibia's annual salary. It's more like Namibia's annual. That's our annual salary. When we talk about your GDP, you know, it's Namibia's annual salary now as a country. Now, it's all the diamond we mine, all the fish we catch, all the tourism dollar that comes in, all the service we provide, you know, all the construction we do, you know, everything, okay? Everything. We add it up all, and that's our GDP. And that's how much Namibia make in a year. Okay? Now, well, debt, of course, that is easy. That's how much we owe. Simple as that. Okay? Debt is how much we owe. Now, so, when we say our debt to GDP ratio is 53.4%, what are we really saying? What we are really saying is this. Okay? What we are really saying is this. For every 100, let's give 100. For every $100 Namibia earns, we owe $53. For every $100 Namibia earns, we owe $53. Okay, let me bring it home to your kitchen table, okay? To your budget at home. Imagine you earn $10,000 a year, okay? That's your salary. That's your house. That's your household income, $10,000, your salary. Now, imagine you owe $5,300. This is now your debt to GDP ratio. Now, so you owe $5,300. Maybe it's on credit card. Maybe it's on personal loan. Maybe it's you borrowed from your family or from your cousin. It doesn't matter. Okay? So the point is, you owe more than half of what you earn in a year. Are you following? So you owe more than half of what you earn in the year. And that's what 53.4% means. Eh? Now, so think about that, the country now. I'm just giving the personal so that you can now think about in terms of the country. So now when you think about, is that a lot? Now my question for you now, is that a lot? Is that dangerous? That you owe more than half of what you earn in the year. Is that a lot? Is that dangerous? Well, let's think about it like a household budget. Okay? If you earn 10,000 a year and you owe 5,000, can you manage? Can you manage? Maybe. It depends on a few things. Okay? You may manage. You might be able to manage, but it depends on a few things. Maybe what are you paying in interest every month? Maybe there are certain things that are you paying in interest. So depending on that, can you still afford food? Can you still afford rent? Can you still afford electricity, school fees after you make your loan payment? Can you still afford, you know, all this? Are you borrowing that money? The other question is also, you know, the other thing is that are you borrowing that money to invest in something that will help you, earn more later, like education or starting a business? Or are you just borrowing to pay for day-to-day living because, you know, because you are spending more than you earn. So yeah, that's the things that depending when we say now, is that a lot or is that dangerous? You know, borrowing. So it would depend on some of those things. So that's where it get tricky also. You know, debt itself isn't automatically bad. It's not automatic. As they said, it's not automatically bad. If you borrow money to go to university and get a better job, that's a smart debt. You know, that's a smart debt. Now, you investing in your future earning power, that is a smart debt. Now, if you borrow to buy a taxi that will generate income, that's a productive test. I mean, that's a productive debt. You know? So, but if you're borrowing just to buy groceries because you spend your whole salary on other things, that's a problem debt. So that's now a problem debt. You are not investing. You are just surviving. And the next month, you will be in the same hole, much deeper. So when we look at Namibia's 53% debt to GDP ratio, we need to ask, what did we borrow that money for? What did we borrow that money for? Are we building ports? Are we building roads? Are we, you know, are we building power stations? Are we, you know, things that would help the economy grow and earn more in the future? So are we doing that? Or are we just borrowing to pay salaries and keep the government running because we can't balance the budget? And that's also what Dr. actually spoke this morning as well. Now, let me tell you why this ratio matters so much. This ratio really matters so much. So when it gets too higher, when the borrowing, you know, get too higher, bad things start to happen. Okay? And we're going to look at that when we come back from this commercial.
Attention all aspiring students. The International University of Management is thrilled to announce that late applications for the academic year 2026 are now open and closing on the 20th of February 2026. Whether your passion lies in environmental management and sustainability sciences, health sciences, ICT, business and strategic management, or in education, we have the perfect program waiting for you. And to our future leaders and changemakers, you are not left out. Boost your career with our postgraduate programs or advance your journey through the Graduate School of Business. Study full-time, part-time, or via distance learning. The choice is yours. Your future, your way. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. That's 061-433-6000. IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
Well, make sure that you get that application and go to IUM, you know, so your future is them. All right. Welcome back. So I was saying that, you know, when the borrowing, become more, okay, when the borrowing become more, when it get too higher, bad things start to happen. So bad things start to end. First, more and more of the money government collect has to go towards paying back the loans and paying interest. So now, remember those interest payment we talk about earlier. So nearly 14 billion just in interest this coming year. In the article, we're talking about 14 billion just being paid in interest this coming year. 14 billion in interest. Think of that amount of money. That's money that money cannot go to like fixing the hospital, eh? Or buying medicine in a hospital that desperately needs, or hiring teachers that we have, you know, you remember, you forgot already, there are qualified teachers that still that are still, you know, at home that are still sitting at home. So that money cannot go to fix those kind of things or maintaining road to fix those potholes that you have in your town. So the higher your debt, the more money disappear into just servicing that debt. So a big chunk of money that was supposed to be used, you know, for social service now actually is servicing the debt. You can also think of that in terms of personal terms again. All right. So if you are paying $2,000 now, let's say for you're paying $2,000 a year just in interest and the loan payment, loan repayment, that's $2,000 you don't have for anything else. Eh? That $2,000 you don't have for anything else. Your actual living standard goes down because so much of your income is spoken for before you even seen it. It's gone before you even, you know, before you even seen it. So, secondly, when your debt to GDP ratio get too higher, well, lenders start actually to worry. All right, let's see who is knocking on my door. A very good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
How are you, man?
Good, good. Hey, but the voice of the caller, they're far, man. People cannot hear.
Oh, they're far.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's because I'm using actually my phone. I'm putting actually the phone on the mic.
okay, no, that's
yeah.
Yeah, the debt issue and the market decision makers.
Yeah.
So as I asked yesterday, whom be represented by the president? So I saw a lot of callers, people asking about what do I be? But if you look at your topic, it's still not really elaborating what is really going on when it comes to economy or to market economy of Namibia.
Yeah.
So the president needing to choose what type of groups, because there are only two groups in that they can be interacted in the economy earning and or the country earning and all of those things.
Yeah.
So decision makers are now the market economic decision makers are now the householders and the business people. So those two now presently need to choose which one is going with, which one is protected in terms of the in the state house and in the politically interacted in the parliament, like his speeches now.
Yeah.
How these people will be boosting, because their entities, the political members, which is now those who are in the town council, village council, municipality.
Yeah.
They are now make it hard for the people to earning, understand? Because these business people, they don't get land in some areas where their services needed. And this individual, now the householders, they cannot also be in the business activity because they've been chasing and there is no open market where they can do those economic activities.
Yeah.
So those are the issues that we are asking the president, whom you are representing in the state house or whom you are representing in the government. Because if you are not making it easier for these people, even the government cannot earn much.
Yeah.
So the that is now we are noticing that the money we are making is just to maintaining our loan.
Yeah.
To pay the interest, which is wrong, because if you look at now, the for example, the mining mining sector in 5 years time,
yeah,
when they were making about 537 million, So the whole 300 and something went with the foreign direct investment.
Yeah. And I think you make a point. I think I wanted just to emphasize the point you are making with things that we don't really look seriously as citizens. With looking at, as you said, the money we are earning, more of the money we are earning actually goes to the servicing of the debt rather than actually coming to us, to the development or what. So, and that's a serious thing.
Yes, those are now the things that I'm saying. President needed to know, or even the dossier. Politicians need to know why the people have voted me.
Yeah.
Because if she go back into her manifesto,
yeah,
that is where there is an indication of rising your mind to say, maybe they choose me because of this, because of I'm going to make it easier for everybody to have electricity.
Yeah,
you see now, but when you come in, you see that there is no money for electricity. You keep quiet. While people are suffering there.
Yeah.
So those are the issues that I'm saying. She needed to have a grouper that can be benefiting from her decision making. So those are now the business people. If you team up with the business people, which means the job creation will come in the country. Because they are making it easier. You call them, you're discussing with them. What is really going on? Why you are not growing?
But that's the whole point of starting the PPP forum, the PPPAS forum, yeah. The private partnership forum, yeah.
Yeah, you see now. So those are the you call those ones, you're discussing with them, you find it out that, okay, this is what we need to do. Because if you look at Mr. Sangwasa, some they are saying he's not doing good, but he's doing good because he wants things to be changed.
Yeah.
So that the citizen must be starting benefiting from that. Not only to say I'm collecting money, yeah, because you are owing me, but you make it difficult for this person to make money.
Yeah.
You see now, you are selling a land which you didn't buy for it. You get it for free from the government and you are starting making millions of dollars out of it. So what is the value of that if you are not bought it, even the government didn't bought it, you see now. So there are no value of money.
Yeah.
So that is the problem I'm saying. The president and the ministers, they need to understand what they are for. If you are appointed to be a minister of agriculture, starting now negotiating with discussing the issue with the farmers who are now doing the activity, the farming activity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that they can be, you can make it easier for them to starting selling their product or to starting having markets where they can sell their product. So that is what if you look at the other countries that they are doing good, country like Japan, for example.
Yeah.
They make it easier for the investors, the local investors.
Yeah, you capacitate your farmers or your local investors, you know, rather than just opening up for foreign investors. So you capacitate your own investors. Yeah.
Yeah, you see now, because they can even exporting their product.
Yeah.
Not to producing rotten things that you are now talking about, Monte Cristo, Tunda, you finding those the tomatoes are rotten there. Instead of sending them, maybe there is a country that is needing those product. Discussing with those people, open up doors for them. Not only to selling those fresh product or low product.
In actual fact, what the other doctor was saying is that with a small population, we should have been with everything, with food or with other, we should able to meet the demand ourselves, and even then, you know, the surplus be able to sell outside, you know?
Yes, but that one is not easy because we don't have machinery, we don't have money to cover those because the company like Bokomo, it cannot buy a machine for tin makers, you understand?
Yeah.
Because he cannot making money to do that unless there is a market outside. And that is what I'm saying. The foreign the foreign minister plus the embassy and the investment board for Memewanja, they need to sit with people and then telling them that we are producing this type of product, but we need a market. We don't have market because our market was taken over by the South African. You understand?
Yeah, but there's a there's a market in Africa. There's definitely market in Africa.
We have a lot of embassy, African countries who are having embassy in Namibia.
Yeah.
So if you starting talking with your farmers and then you say, take me to the embassy of Ghana, for example, like the meat market that was opening there. So you're finding people are getting more market, lucrative market even. For them to sell in their chilies, for them to sell their onions. So some of those, like for example, Mali or Chad, they don't care what type of product they will bring.
Exactly, yeah.
They can just sell it because you are selling in the open market. You are not selling in the formal market.
Mm.
So that is what I'm saying. Politicians must know that they are representing somebody in the parliament, not to collecting salaries.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that you have in this country. Those are the problems that African countries will not do better. But if you look at the way that our founding president was doing, he was doing it for the country. If you're reading his, all the, even the petition that was done in UN, he was addressing the issue of the Namibians.
Yeah.
But now we are doing it for our individual. Only few that are benefiting from those. But they are not even making money. They are collecting what is working by somebody.
And those who are benefiting actually are those who have already.
Now. And they are not doing business. They are just collecting with papers.
Mm.
You're submitting the proposal, you're getting 500 million. You flashing it later on, you come back again, doing something.
Yeah.
So those are the problems I'm saying. Let us identify this. I know people that didn't hear me very well yesterday, but today, this is what I'm breaking down.
Right.
Opening up a border for those farms, even for the meat market.
Mm.
Go everywhere in the world, in Africa. I'm not saying go in the EU where you can ask a lot of papers to fill in. No, I'm asking in Africa.
Yeah.
Go in African countries, like what it was done by ShopRite. You go there, you're taking the farm. Those guys, they have even community farm, what? Farm group.
Mm.
Like Omangeti Farm Group.
Yeah.
You take five of them. You go to those guys for Narobe, they are not business people because they want to sell in somebody's thing. You are buying in South Africa, you are buying in China, and you want to say you are a business person. No, we want the people that are producing things from Namibia.
Yeah.
To go taking those products outside the country. Okay, Mike.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
You're welcome.
All right. All right. All right, and our time, it's about 10 o'clock. Unfortunately, when you have fun, time flies. So that brings us actually to the end of our episode of Unpacking the Day today. Unfortunately, I know there could have been some people who tried to call to come through the our studio line, which hasn't been working this morning. Yeah, and our technical people are on it. Hopefully, the programs that be coming later on, the problem would be sorted out. So, well, that's all what we have for you this morning. Let's do this again tomorrow at the same time here on your number one talk radio station. So coming up is Tate France coming with Kutha Mosha. We're crossing back to Windhoek for Kutha Mosha with Tate France coming up in a short minute. So from me, Mike Oshaveli, until tomorrow, goodbye for now.